We're in Jeremiah chapter 51. Jeremiah 51, we'll be picking it up at verse 11. We realized last week as we looked at these earlier verses that God's bringing judgment. In fact, the whole chapter before, chapter 50, also included prophecy about the judgment against Babylon. We understand that Babylon represents more than just a city or more than just a city that controlled a vast area at that time. But there was a city named Babylon. And I would say you could trace it all the way back to the Tower of Babel, because I believe it was in the same site that they tried to gather together and make a stairway to heaven, so to speak, so that they could skip God. Isn't that what everybody's really trying to do in the world? They're trying to become like God or better than God. Right, I can still remember whenever they had the cloning of Dolly the sheep, which, you know, really all they did was just mess with the genetic structure, right? That was all stuff God had already made. But I can still remember this gleeful scientist, this geneticist on the TV. Man, he had his face like as close to the camera as he could get, and he said, "Now we are like God." And I thought to myself, you are, other than the fact that you're created in His image, you are nothing like God. You're doing this for your pride. God didn't do it for His pride. God did it for His glory, and we are part of that. God did it because of His goodness, and He created everything that we see. But you see, even there, it just shows you, and just it's like building that stairwell, trying to get to heaven without God, right? Trying to be like God without Him. A lot of people want to be in heaven. They're just not so sure they want Jesus there when they get there. They don't really want Him to be on top. They don't really want to be Him to be the ruler of everything. And that's what we're bucking against, is His rule and His reign over us. And so, you know, all the nations rage, right? It says that in the Psalms. And they plot a vain thing. They're plotting against God, and it's a vain thing because God is the ruler, right? God is the ruler. And so basically, that's what happened here with Babylon. Babylon was... you know, it was raised up for greatness because God had a plan to use them. But if they didn't repent and come to God the same way as everybody else needs to come to God, humbly, they would be destroyed. And I can tell you, even if you see a person, it seems like God's using them, that's not like an absolute proof that they're a child of God, because God can use anybody. And He can use a donkey. No, that's so true. Going back to the whole cloning thing, they don't start from scratch. They're using the materials that God left here. Yeah. And I can tell you all the nonsense, and I'm just going to call it what it is. This nonsense of evolution, the way that they teach it in school. Now, I know that species have kind of like a microevolution depending on what their surroundings are like. Okay? Species can adapt. But you don't see cats turn into dogs and, you know, dogs turn into spiders or spiders turn into dogs or anything like that. You see, we are made and created because God made us, each species and each particular creature, the way that we are. Now, there can be some small changes within the species because of environment, and things that survive become the stronger, and so they carry on. But like this whole thing of evolution is starting from nothing. Even then, they cannot even begin to come up with a theory of where the first materials came from. They would rather think that that the spark of life that got hit with you know, they have all these weird little scientific explanations for everything, that there was this slime, and this slime got hit by lightning possibly, and it did something to it, and the slime. So where'd the slime come from? And there's been, where'd the lightning come from? Yeah. So you got all these questions, and I actually heard a scientist one time say, well, you know, we believe that they were crystals that were riding on the backs of aliens. So where'd the aliens come from? Where'd the crystals come from, right? So like sooner or later, you have got to trace this thing back to something that is higher and larger than that. Yeah. It's just, I mean, it is really a law of thought or of reason or of logic. It's a law. It has to go back. You don't look at one of those cars sitting out there and say, lightning must have hit a rock, and it brought forth that car we rode in. No, we know that car had a creator, right? It had somebody that thought up the design. It had a whole team that drew up the drawings, and they thought about where the wires were going to go. And all. They're very complicated. how much more complicated is just a human being? Not to mention the environment we live in and the way everything works together. Isn't it amazing how God made everything? Well, you see, whenever we reject that, what we're rejecting also is His reign over our lives. It really is. And it doesn't just happen in schools either. It doesn't just happen in learning institutions. It happens in the human heart, and it's happening in all facets of life, and it even, dare I say, happens in churches. It's a sad, sad thing. I think God needs His, you know, to have His rightful place in our lives for us to show that we truly do submit to Him. I'm kind of prefacing what we're going to be reading here tonight, because as we look at verse 11, make the arrows bright, gather the shields. The Lord has raised up the spirit of the kings of the Medes, and His plan is against Babylon to destroy it. Now you do realize this was written before any of this happened, right? He's even naming who the country's going to be that's going to do it. Who the nation's going to do it, going to bring the judgment against Babylon. Because it is the vengeance of the Lord, the vengeance for His temple. Okay? Guys, the Babylonians, if you read, and they were used as a tool of God to come in and bring judgment, but they joyfully, absolutely destroyed everything about the temple. They joyfully carried all the stuff off. They joyfully now... See, in our Wednesday night services, we've been going through the book of Daniel, which it kind of coincides with the time that they were in Babylon, right? And we're just about up to the part where they got out the golden vessels, and they decided to use them for their party. They decided to make a mockery out of the things that came out of this temple, and I'm just going to tell you, God wasn't okay with it. And it was right before what we're reading about would actually be carried out, which was written before it happened. Okay, so it's all in connection with one another. All these prophetic books that we've been in. Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That design to Moses, but he also gave it to two other guys, and he told him who those two other guys were that he had given it to. So we think this creativity that we have is just something we come up with on our own. But even to build the tabernacle, there was Aholiab and Bezalel that he pointed Moses to. And he reassured him, I've already given this design and the artistic impression for these other two men to be able to help you do this. But do it exactly as I've shown. And so he had shown them the exact same thing. I believe there was total unity as those guys went together and did it, you know. And they got everybody else involved by them bringing the stuff so that they could make these articles and everything. And it was the same way whenever the temple was built. And so Solomon built the temple that they're talking about here, that God is bringing vengeance on Babylon for having destroyed it. Because I'll tell you what, they may have been used as God's instrument, and we can be used of God's instrument, but don't you ever forget that God is holy, and He is not to be mocked. And there's a whole world full of people that are mocking God right now. And God's been the one who's gifted them to be able to even be successful in what they do. And yet, mocking God, mocking the image of God. So much of the attacks that you see on our culture today here in the United States are absolute attacks on the image of God. Don't you make any mistake about it. On His image is part of His holiness, right? And we are created in His image. But you look at the marred image of God, all this trans... You know, I say it in quotes, because I'm going to tell you, I cannot say transgender with a straight face and be truthful, because no one can change their gender. Yeah, we can try to change our image so that we look like another gender, but you cannot change your gender. You can change some of your body parts, But you cannot change your gender is given to you by God. That is not, you know, it's been redefined. It's been redefined. The word's been redefined now, as words do. You know, if you study etymology, words can evolve, so to speak. If you look up the definition of gender now, it talks about social implications on gender. That's how they can say there's 30 plus genders now, or some are saying 60, or they can just throw any number out there that they want to now, because they're saying that it's just whatever society decides. But if you look at your birth certificate, where it says male or female, there's a word above it and it says gender. And if you look at a passport application and your passport, it still says gender on it, folks. Gender is binary. They can try to redefine it if they want, but God's word clearly says I made them male and female. And so it is something that we need to stand on, because it's about the holiness of the image of God we're talking about. So why do you think there's such an attack on marriage? And you know, we can go just straight to the homosexual marriage, but guys, let's just think about marriage in general. Just marriage in general is attacked from so many levels in so many ways. There are so many ways that marriage has been made a mockery of. Just no-fault divorce is one of them. I mean, that whenever they started going down that road, it was just kind of like then people started saying, well, I'm going to do a starter marriage, you know. I'm going to get married with the intent that we're only going to be married for a couple years. Just try this thing out, and we already intend on it ending. I mean, how about Jesus' marriage to his church? Aren't you glad he didn't plan on ending it? Aren't you glad? Why do you think Satan is attacking that area like he does? Because he's attacking the image of God in his relationship to his church that he died for. Now there's your example of a husband, one who would give his life for his wife. He would give his life to have her. He would be patient for her and woo her to him. He would not be demanding. He is not just demanding and judgmental against us. Yes, he tells us the truth, but he allows us to make the choice to come to him. Wow, how incredible is that? What a beautiful image. And it's just constantly under attack, just like he is his creator God. So the reason why I'm saying all this is because God's bringing vengeance on Babylon because of their destruction of the temple. How much more do you think we as the temple of God are precious to God? In an image of His holiness. And whenever the temple is being constantly attacked and destroyed, how does that make our God feel? I'm going to tell you, there is no greater sin of destruction of the temple. Okay, now I'm not saying no greater sin, but I'm saying of destruction of the temple than what you see whenever a newborn baby is ripped from its mother's womb in such a barbaric way. God's not okay with that. If he destroyed Babylon for the destruction of this one man-made temple directed by God, but a man-made structure that could be rebuilt, how much more will he destroy a people who keeps destroying these unique temples that can never be duplicated? Out of all the billions of people that have lived on planet Earth, there have never been two exactly the same, and he will not make another one exactly the same as the one that's being destroyed. And so how much more dear do you think that temple is to God? So as I read this, I just was thinking, my goodness, if he destroyed an entire people in vengeance of their destruction of the temple, how much more are we set and poised for destruction right now if we refuse to repent? Oh, pray for the end of abortion in our nation, folks. And don't quit praying for it. Pray for a reunification of support for biblical marriage. Pray that life would be honored at all stages, because I don't think God's joking around about this stuff. He has been so enormously patient, so much more than I would have been. You know, I've thought about that. I am so glad I'm not God, because, you know, I would have destroyed all of us a long time ago, including myself. But praise God for his patience and his kindness and his mercy. But don't ever mistake it that he's just okay with everything. He's not okay with it. He is not okay with it. And there is such a battle over that area right now in our nation. I can tell you, all this wrangling that we see and all this stuff that is so out of hand, you make no mistake about it. Their number one concern, the reason why they're fighting so hard, is because they know that Roe v. Wade is that close to falling. They're doing everything they can. Did you guys know that David Dalyden, you guys know who that guy is? You remember back whenever those recordings were made of the Planned Parenthood people, the abortion providers, talking about selling the baby body parts? And how, hey, if you wanted you a new Jaguar, you just made sure it didn't crush the head too bad so that you could sell the brains and stuff like that. And I mean, they boldly did it in front of that camera. Do you know he just had a judgment against him for $185,000 that they're forcing him to pay to Planned Parenthood? Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was the undercover reporter. Thank you for helping to define that fully. So he was the undercover reporter, part of a bigger group, and they decided all they were going to do was just pose as somebody who wanted to buy some baby body parts to prove that these folks were wanting to sell them to him. And so they didn't do anything to Planned Parenthood for selling the baby body parts, which is illegal. They didn't do anything to them at all. Not at all. And yet, they have fined this man, a jury found against him because of the way that the judge instructed the jury to consider certain parts of the evidence. The judge demanded and ordered that they consider certain parts of the evidence in a certain way, which would be very arguable about whether, you know, I mean, really, the judge probably should be disbarred for the way that he went about it. But on top of that, now David Dalyden actually faces 8 federal criminal charges that might be brought against him. And do you know who one of the first ones to attack him was? Kamala Harris. And she is running for president right now. So if you don't think that the battle ultimately is over that territory, I'm just trying to help you understand, it's huge. This man, all he did was reveal the truth. That's all he did. He never bought a baby body part. But boy, they were more than willing to sell them to him. And they bragged about how they were selling them other places. And yet, he's the one who faces going to jail, and they are facing nothing. It's incredible. Anna? He is the only one out of the whole mess that's running for president that's pro-life. Shelley? Yeah. Yeah. So here's the deal, guys. I don't say this to depress us. What I say this for is I think we are at an extremely pivotal time. And I think that we need to pray completely through this pivotal time. Because I'm going to tell you, the attack is clear, and it's raging to be able to continue to destroy these little innocent lives. And don't worry, they won't stop there. They already want to push euthanasia on older people, and they're already doing it in some of these other countries where they have socialized health care. Okay? They decide if you're worth living or not. And so we really need to understand something. Satan is on the other side of this thing. And that's why they are trying so hard right now to impeach Trump or try to discredit him in whatever way he can. And I'm just going to tell you something. It has been unbelievable how strong he has been for life. And he even had his ambassador stand before the UN the other day and tell the whole UN, the United Nations, it's a crime against humanity and something needs to be done about it worldwide. And I'm just going to tell you, that ain't going to make you popular in this world. You know, there's a lot of the people that are playing into the hands of Satan. And I'm just going to say, man, this temple is to be protected, honored, and loved because God made this temple. So don't you downgrade your temple that you live in because God loves that temple. And don't you be downgrading anybody else's temple out there, and definitely need to be praying that it would be upheld and that it would be protected, and especially the more defenseless that they are, the more so that we should look at that. My goodness. You know, the woman's womb, the mother's womb, should be the safest place on earth, right? I mean, God made it such a wonderful nurturing environment. And what we're doing is just incredible, and it needs to stop. Let's continue to read. He says in verse 12, set up the standard on the walls of Babylon, make the guard strong, set up the watchmen, prepare the ambushes, for the Lord has both devised and done what he spoke against the inhabitants of Babylon. O you who dwell by many waters, abundant in treasures, your end has come. I'm just going to tell you, we're about to read about the handwriting on the wall. And whenever he had this written on the wall miraculously, basically was saying just this, your end has come. It's time. Yeah, Wednesday night we're going to be looking at that. And so he continues on here, the measure of your covetousness, the Lord of hosts has sworn by himself, surely I will fill you with men as with locusts, and they shall lift up a shout against you. He has made the earth by his power. Speaking God about himself, right? Or through the prophet, he has made the earth by his power. He has established the world by his wisdom and stretched out the heaven by his understanding. So let me ask you something. All this talk about evolution and creating everything from nothing, God had nothing to do with it. Is it not a direct attack on that statement right there? God listed three things there that he was responsible for that saying, I have authority here. This is my earth, and I am the boss. I am the king, and what I say goes. So, did the rest of this stuff happen? Absolutely. So it proves he is the creator, folks. Absolutely. And so, be not ashamed to stand in the public and say, I believe God created it, and I believe he created it in six literal days. You just go right ahead and say that, because I'm going to tell you, whenever you do and you boldly stand on the Word of God, God will be there standing right beside you. But I think he's very offended by how we are just shoving him off to the side and saying, well, we're not even really sure that he did that. And there's so many churches that are trying to accommodate millions or billions of years and saying, we're not really sure that the Bible is a narrative there. We're not sure. That could be poetic language. My goodness, folks, it says evening and morning the first day. And everywhere else that the word yom in Hebrew is used, it means a day. So why would we want to make that into some kind of poetic language? I'll tell you why. It's because we're ashamed of the Bible, and we don't want to be embarrassed in front of all these wonderful doctors that have 10 degrees or whatever. But I'll just help you out here. We actually have some doctors with 10 degrees on the other side too that are standing with us, and they say, we believe it's a young earth, and here's all the evidence for it. I can tell you right now, guys, we don't have to believe this without our brain. We can believe this with our brain because it's true and it's provable and it's experienced right here on planet Earth that we actually live on a very young Earth. Do not be ashamed of God's Word, and I believe that's what's going to begin to turn our nation's eyes back to God Himself. These attacks. And we've just stood idle by and ashamed to say anything because we're afraid we don't have the right answers. But I can tell you, this book is the right answer. So you stand on His Word, and I'm telling you, we can win this nation back by the power of the Holy Spirit, but we got to get fully on His side, not just kind of on His side. You know, we have to be totally committed to walking totally with God that we believe the whole book. And whenever we do that, I believe God is going to come forth beautifully and strongly, mightily to save. And you look, guys, Babylon wasn't no big deal for him to destroy, was it? And he used them to go steamroll everybody. And then he turns around and he brings a horde in to steamroll them. I can just say, God can come in, and he can win hearts. He can change policies. He can change even what's being taught in our science classes. And I think it needs to happen. I can't single-handedly do it, but if all of us stand together on the Word of God, who controls the school boards? We do. We can vote in the right people. We should vote in the right people to begin to see this happen. It may not happen overnight, or it may. Just this past year, we've heard of several different states who have enacted laws where they're teaching the Bible in school again. Amen? It should be happening. Now, I'm just going to tell you, it ain't going to come without a price. The enemy gets mad, but fooey on him. We don't have to listen to him. He's just huffing and puffing. His judgment's already been decided. Right? And so what we need to do is we just need to do what's right. So one of the governors who helped that to happen in Kentucky got voted out this past election by about 4,000 votes over an entire state. That's all he lost by. And I'll guarantee you it had something to do with the other side, because of being incited, they come out in whatever numbers they can, and they try to huff and puff, and he lost the election as governor. You know what I think, though? I think God will just use him for something bigger now. We've seen it happen before. One of our great guys who ran for governor wound up getting beat. He turned around and working for the president then, you know? And it can happen, guys. It can happen that this could be for his promotion, right? And so we don't say, oh, no. What we say is, praise and glory to God, because he's just got a better plan. And so, but hey, they're still teaching the Bible in the school systems. It's an elective, but it should be available. My goodness. By saying it can't even be available, it's like we're saying that it's just rubbish and it isn't even true and it's not of any value. And yet, we have so many Christians living in the United States. You know? We really are just going to have to be bold. We're going to have to push forward by prayer and by our insistence to continue on. Let's look at what he continues to say here in verse 16. When he utters his voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens. Sounds just like Revelation, doesn't it? Like a multitude. He causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He makes lightnings for the rain. He brings the wind out of his treasuries. Or another version says his storehouse. Right? Where's all that wind stored up? God literally controls. He's the one who has it, you know? And so, we know that he gives the devil some limited authority. But I want you to remember that even when we look at the book of Job, he couldn't do any of that till he had asked for permission. And God gave him permission to bring that trouble in Job's life to prove a point. And ultimately, he wound up blessing Job through it. He gave him twice as much of everything, and he gave him 10 more children. You know what? He had 10 children, and he gave him twice of everything else, but he only gave him 10 more children. That was twice the children, because I think his other children were already in heaven. That's kind of a comforting thought, isn't it? That like God didn't hurt him one little bit eternally. All he did was he put him through a little trial to test his faith, and man, it was a dandy. But I'm just going to tell you, all it did was refine Job. All it did was refine Job, and Job was just more like God at the end of that thing. But he was still praising God, and God displayed his glory through it. I say that's a two thumbs up, amen? Yeah. And I'll tell you another thing about Job. Job took control of his family during that time too, didn't he? You know, he was a leader through that time. You know, his children had died, and his wife said, just curse God and die, you know? And I'm not downing her. She hated to see her husband going through the suffering he was going through, right? She said, you'd be better off dead, basically. But you know, he said, don't speak like a foolish woman. He was a leader. And he led his family through that. And it was a good thing that he did. And he helped save her as well in the process. Guys, we need to be those good leaders, don't we? In our homes and in our society. We need to shelter our wives and the ladies around us with good Christian leadership like it should be done, right? And if we will, we can steer us out of this by the power of God in us. Don't you make any mistake about it. God is not any less powerful now than what he was whenever this was written, before it happened and then carried out exactly as he said. There's a lot of other stuff that's written before it's going to happen, and it's going to be carried out exactly as he said. And what we need to do is just be on the right side of it at all times. God can come to our aid. God can do more than what we could ever ask or imagine, he says. So why aren't we asking? Why aren't we leading? Why aren't we being the church we're called to be as a whole, all about His kingdom? I pray that we will be, we'll continue to be, and we'll encourage other churches. I can tell you, I'm excited for the future of our association right now. I am extremely excited. This man that God has given us to come and lead our association, I'm just going to say, I believe that he is a very godly man that has his heart and his hope in the right place. I believe he's all about the gospel, and I cannot wait to see what God's going to do to unite our churches, because I'm going to tell you, a united church is a powerful tool in God's hands. And I believe God's holiness is going to be lifted up, and I believe that there's going to be great hope. Who is it that has all this? He's the one that puts the vapors up there. He's the one that makes the lightning. He's the one who has the wind and brings it out of his treasuries or his storehouse. Everyone, it says in verse 17, is dull-hearted without knowledge. Every metalsmith is put to shame by the carved image. For his molded image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them. All these false gods that are made all over the earth, you can't believe. Like whenever we went to Thailand, we went through Chiang Mai, they purposely took us on a prayer walk of the district, and it was just like one Buddhist temple after another Buddhist temple after another Buddhist temple, and then a big animist temple. Just temple after temple, and all this gold, and all these people that are so poor, and all this gold is used to make these stupid metal images that can't help anybody. They don't have a brain, and the people who are making them aren't using their brain. And you know what? It is actually very offensive to God, and he's going to bring judgment whenever that's what we're depending on. Shelly? They put a whole chicken out there. And I know there was plenty of people that needed that chicken. But they'd stick it out in front of those. They'd have little household idols laying around. They'd stick it out in front of that household idol. And it would sit there and get all rotten and have flies all over it. And then, all of a sudden it disappears like the idol took it. Now, it's probably that dog that came down the road there that was starving to death that took it, you know. I mean, it's sad. It is really sad to see. And you know what? We're trusting idols too here in our own nation. They may not look like that, but there's a lot of idols that get trusted. I can tell you, the stock market's probably one of the biggest ones, you know. And can you imagine that in the 1930s, whenever they had the crash of the stock market, people literally killed themselves over that because they had lost so much. I can tell you what, I don't know if the rest of you guys have figured this out, but money is just like it says in the Bible, it grows wings and flies away. Yeah. Don't you be putting your trust in that, because it goes away just as quick as it came, and it's a necessary thing. It can be used for good too. That's why we need to look at it. But don't be depending on it, and don't be making it your idol, because it goes away just as fast as it came. And so God don't want us to be dull-hearted. And that's how we are until we have God. That's just the natural state of man. That's man in his natural state, dull-hearted. You know, everyone has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Everyone doesn't have a mind that works properly until we submit it to God. And it's just really the truth. It really is the truth. And if you think that we couldn't be duped into working with the metalsmith, you know, to make an idol, we didn't grow up there. We didn't have that around us. What if that was our dad? He was making those idols. You know? What if that was our dad and he just said, well, son, I don't know how it works, but I just know that everybody comes around wanting one. It works out pretty good for us. So maybe there's something to it, I'm not sure, you know, but this is what my parents taught me, and this is what I teach you, so now come here and help me. You know, if that's the culture, if that's what the environment that we grow up in, unless somebody came and changed something, unless God himself would convince our heart, that's what we would think, right? And so that's why we are needed in this world. The world needs us. Not to sit back and judge them for being, you know, stupid and making the idols or for trusting the idols, But we just need to make sure that we don't get polluted by it and that we help them out, okay? We help them out of it. And so as we look there at verse 18, they are futile, okay? That's speaking of the idols, a work of errors. In the time of their punishment, this is speaking of the people, they shall perish. And you know what? That metal idol ain't going to help them a bit. It's not going to help them a bit. It says the portion of Jacob is not like them. Who's the portion of Jacob? God Almighty is. You know, our God, our Yahweh, the one who sits on the throne even still to this day and always will. He's not like those idols. You see, he is the maker of all things. Nobody made God. You know, that's what these theologians, or these philosophers all kind of point to a lot of times, or people get real philosophic about that. Well, man just needed God. They needed that thought, and so they invented this God, and they invented this book, and they just kind of, you know, and they just kind of control the masses through this. Guys, it ain't like that at all. I can tell you, there is no human being in the world could have written this book. This thing is amazing. Now, God used people's hands, and he spoke through them. He gave them wisdom. Man, this was God made this book. Amen. This thing is amazing, and it is so cohesive, and it is so true, and it fits together so well. I am just thrilled. I've been going through, I don't know if you guys can tell. I'm thrilled! I've been going through these studies, through these prophets, and I am so much more thrilled than before I started. So you see how it's all fitting together? How I've been preaching from a minor prophet that had something to do with the rebuilding of the temple at the end of the Babylonian invasion. I'm preaching through Daniel, which is during the Babylonian invasion. I'm preaching through Jeremiah, which was before the Babylonian invasion and kind of at the beginning of it. You see, guys, I want you to know something. It all fits together. It is amazing. And there's so much more than what I've been able to study so far. And so what this tells me is everything that's pointing ahead of this is just as true. God really is God of the universe. And this just proves it all the more. And the deeper you go, the more you study, the more you see how much bigger it is than what you could have ever imagined. And that's how our God is. And we're going to have forever to enjoy Him. But there are so many people that are going to spend forever in hell. And that really bothers me more after I see how awesome God is. Whenever I experience how awesome God is, then I realize He's so awesome that He's got people that He wants me to reach out to. Let me not be negligent. I don't know how it all works, and I know God reaches out to people, and I know that if I refuse, He might, I don't know, might use someone else. But why should I even go there? Why should I not just be joyful that He wants to use me? That He wants me to be the one! Like, that's exciting! That's awesome! That God would want to use me! It's the same God who wrote all this. And He's proven Himself to be truly the one. Why are we allowing our schools to teach that He doesn't even exist? And we're sending our kids down there. And then they come back and we give them a couple times a church. And then we don't understand why they don't believe it. Because guys, they're being indoctrinated like 7 or 8 hours a day. 5 days a week. Do the opposite. I think we really need to pray that God would help us turn that around. This is the truth. And it's the truth even if other people don't believe it. This is not the truth because I believe it. It's the truth and I believe it. And you know, it's going to be the truth forever because guess what? The portion of Jacob ain't like those idols. The portion of Jacob is the maker of all things. There he goes again, identifying himself by being the Creator. I was so shocked. You know, if you were here for a while, we preached through the Psalms on Wednesday evenings. That takes a while, by the way. Psalms are vast. Some of them you can't do in one night. We didn't try to do, you know, Psalm 119 in one night. We split that one up into some sections, okay? Otherwise, we'd have been here all night. But the thing of it is that I saw in the Psalms that just shocked me was how many times God said, I have the authority because I'm the Creator. I don't know how many different ways He put it and how many different times, but I need to do just a specific study to go back and see how many times He literally puts that in those Psalms because it is an amazing thing. And throughout the entire Bible, how many times does He identify Himself as being the Creator God? I never realized just what a big deal it is. It's a big deal, guys. If we let anybody else own chapters 1 through 11 in Genesis, then they're taking the validity of the rest of the Scripture with them. We've got to understand it is truth, and it needs to be taught, and it needs to be the foundation of everything we teach, because without it, you lose all the patriarchs of the faith, the main patriarchs that started all this. You know, without it, you lose the creation. And how many times is God still identifying himself as the creator all the way up here in Jeremiah? It matters. It matters that not only that he did it, but he did it how he said he did it, and he did it in the time that he said he did it in. Why would we doubt that? God's never lied to us yet. He's not been false yet. He hasn't been proven wrong. These things really did happen, even though they were written beforehand. Let's continue to read just a little bit more. The portion of Jacob is not like them, for he is the maker of all things, and Israel is the tribe of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. Do you think that's still true today? There's a lot of argument about that. I tell you, one of my proudest moments, and this isn't pride in a bad way, this is pride in a good way. I was proud of our president whenever he did that one thing. Right off the bat, he declared that he was going to make sure and recognize and move our embassy to Jerusalem. Because he said that is the eternal capital of Israel. Man, I'm going to tell you something. I was high-stepping that day. He wasn't the first one to thought of it. In fact, it was decreed back in the 90s for this to be done with Bill Clinton. But he didn't have the guts to do it. George W. Bush didn't have the guts to do it. And all the presidents leading up to President Trump either didn't want to do it or didn't have the guts to do it. But we finally got one that had not only believed that he should do it, knew he should do it, knew what it was, declared it properly, but he did it. And I say, praise God. And I can tell you, there's a lot of liberals really mad. One of them was actually one of my family members. And man, did she ever let me have it over that deal. But you know what? I said, what does the Bible say? That's all I said. I didn't have to say any more than that. That made her even madder. Man, she was like ready to string me up. And I didn't have to talk about abortion because she did. She just went after me, man. She went straight for my throat. It was terrible. But it was amazing. And that's where the battle's coming from, guys. It's stemming. Those things are all so interconnected. You know? I didn't say, well, what about life or anything like that. She said, you're probably one of those people that wants to take away women's rights, too. You know, my first mistake was I let her buy me lunch. I shouldn't have done that. Because as soon as she did that, it's like she bought the right to just absolutely nail me to the wall. And I was like, you know, it's been cause for me to pray for her. She's my aunt. She's my dad's oldest sister. And she's very caught up in the world, and it's sad. And she just proved, by the way that she acted, that she is as lost as anybody can be. And that's a sad thing. You know, I went home a little bit wounded, but I thought, she's going to spend forever in hell. That's sad. Yes, but it showed me just how angry they are. And that's why they're trying to impeach him. They'll do anything they can to him. I tell you, we need to pray every day for our president. We really do. And my hope is not in him, but I praise God for him because God's using him. And I pray God will protect him. Amen. Not just from the outside attacks either. You don't think Satan's trying to get him from the inside too? Oh, I bet you. Yeah. But we could get into some stuff on that one, couldn't we? All right. But you see, the portion of Jacob isn't like all these idols that are not real. For he is the maker of all things. And Israel is the tribe of his inheritance. That's why they still exist today, guys. And that's why, in a spiritual sense, we get to claim the promises. And until they are truly saved, unfortunately, they're going to miss out on those promises. But God still has a plan for them. God still has a plan for them. If you read Revelation, you see why they still continue to be a place. They're a place on earth because there's going to be some stuff go down there. God's going to show up in a miraculous way there. And all Israel that exists at that point are going to be saved. It's going to happen. It's going to happen because God shows how it happens. He actually reveals it in Scripture. And just like He said this before it happened and it happened, so will that happen because He said it before it happened. It's going to happen. Verse 20, "You are my battle axe and weapons of war. For with you I break the nation in pieces. With you I destroy kingdoms." Who's he talking to here? He's talking to Babylon. "With you I will break in pieces the horse and its rider. With you I will break in pieces the chariot and its rider. With you I also will break in pieces man and woman. With you I will break in pieces old and young. With you I will break in pieces the young man and the maiden. With you also I will break in pieces the shepherd in his flock. With you I will break in pieces the farmer and the yoke of oxen. And with you I will break in pieces governors and rulers. And I will repay Babylon and all the inhabitants of Chaldea for all the evil they have done in Zion in your sight, says the Lord." So you've got, they're being used as a tool. There's no doubt about it. But guys, they forgot God's holy. They did not really look to Him and appreciate Him for the position that He had. In fact, they took joy in destroying in a very evil fashion. And you know what? There's going to be a price to be paid for that. There's going to be a price to be paid for that. He goes on in verse 25, "Behold, I am against you, O destroying mountain who destroys all the earth, says the Lord, and I will stretch out my hand against you, roll you down from the rocks, and make you a burnt mountain. They shall not take from you a stone for a corner." Hey, you go over there and look at where Babylon used to stand, and I'm just going to tell you guys, it's a wasteland. There's nothing there. It's just desert. It's just desert. It's just a big open plain of desert. And there's not even a stone worth using there, just like God said. It says, "Nor a stone for a foundation, but you shall be desolate forever, says the Lord." Remember, there's a place called Babylon that represents a system called Babylon, and God ultimately is going to destroy the whole thing, system and all. It's all going to be destroyed forever. And anybody that's hanging on to that, and that's their hope, guess what? They're going to get destroyed with it, and that's just not cool. So we need to pray that people be drawn out of that. You remember what we read last week? "Come out from among her, you my people. Come out from among her. Do not be taken in by her sin." Don't take part in it. You see, it's a call for the church, for the spiritual Israel, the people of God, to keep ourselves separate from that. And it includes all the sexual immorality that we see and all of the ways that the world sets up their systems that's popular. And dare I say Hollywood is right. Some of the kingpins of it. We start taking our moral advice from Hollywood, we're in trouble. I almost love it that all of them are banding together to stand for abortion, and they're going to stand together and they're going to change the world through all their fundraisers and all that stuff. Guys, it's sick. It's like we're going to take our moral advice from you guys. You've already proven that the whole place is a cesspool. It's sad. Why anybody would ever want their child to make it big in entertainment move out there? I just have never been able to figure that out. I've had a few parents come to me and say, "Well, my child's really gifted, man. We're trying really hard to get them back, you know." And I'm like, "Why in the world would you want to do that?" "Well, because they're good at it." And I said, "So you want them to move out there and be a part of that cesspool? I mean, the way you make it big there is by just selling your soul. Forget it. I don't want it. I don't want nothing to do with it." Yeah, she didn't go there for the big money and to make it big. She actually went because she saw it was a cesspool and wanted to bring the gospel. And so she was an ambassador for Christ in the middle of it. And she's gone on to actually tell everybody the truth about what a cesspool it really is. You know, she's not one of the big actresses now. She's come away from it and is telling everybody the truth. Do you know that some of the rock bands and stuff that made it really big and some of the entertainers that have made it really big, they actually did make a deal with the devil for popularity? Like, they actively prayed to Satan and said that they would give him their life and all the glory if he would only bless them with that one thing. Well, guys, he was a minister of music in heaven at one point before he fell. He was very gifted at what he did. He was gifted by God to do what he did. And so I don't know how all that works, but I know for a fact that they actively, literally gave their souls to the devil to have the popularity. So why is it a cesspool? It's pretty easy to figure it out at this point. So just in case you were wondering, advise your friends not to take advice from them, okay? Because, like, it's a mess out there. And who cares what they think anyways? Who gave them any kind of place of authority? I'll tell you why. It's because too many people are hooked on entertainment. We need to realize that it really is a major tool of Satan being used to change the public's perception of things. Anna? Yeah, absolutely. That's one of those things that's just amazing. He used to be part of the cesspool, Kanye West, but apparently, you know, God has plucked him out of that. He apparently, his last album, I don't listen to his music, but I heard some of the words from some of the songs. They sound like that it's the real thing. You know, I would say time will tell, you know. And so if you're going to make somebody your hero, it'd be better to wait until they're dead because you got to see how they finished. You know, I know that sounds really weird, but I'm just saying we have to be careful not to follow a person just because they get some of the stuff right. But I am really thankful for it. I'm praising God, and I think it's real. I do. And we need to pray for Kanye because, man, don't you know he's got some pressure from the other side, right? Mm-hmm. But we should, but what I'm saying is I don't think I would join his church and follow his teaching just yet because he's still very immature. And so, yes, you're right. You know, people shouldn't be speaking bad about him, but he popped up and then all of a sudden he's got a church and all this stuff is revolving around him. And he needs to make sure, because that's a dangerous place for him to be, it's revolving around Jesus, right? So we need to pray for him that he will get good counselors around him, mature counselors that'll help him through this. He does have a pastor that's connected to him, apparently. I've caught little bits and pieces of the story as it's been unfolding. Sharon, you had something? Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, and that, exactly, and we will. We'll remember to pray for him at the end of our service here. Remind me on that. Here's the thing. It says in the Bible that you really got to be careful letting a novice lead. If somebody's a new believer, they shouldn't be leading because they put themselves in a very dangerous place. So we really do need to be praying that he don't, because he's setting himself up for a big fall if he's not careful. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure. Lots of prayers for Kanye. Yeah. Yeah. It is amazing hearing his proclamations. I mean, man, he's going right down the line, and he's attacking all the things that the world is lifting up. It's really been interesting to see that. Brother Bill? Amen. Amen. We will do that. Let's go ahead and kind of finish here what we're going to read for tonight. So, he says that they shouldn't take, they're not going to take a stone for a corner, verse 26, nor a stone for the foundation, but you shall be desolate forever. Set up a banner in the land, blow the trumpet among the nations, prepare the nations against her, call the kingdoms together against her, Ararat, Mene, Ashkenaz, appoint a general against her, cause the horses to come up like bristling locusts, prepare against her the nations, the kings of the Medes, its governors, and its rulers, all the land of his dominion, and land will tremble in sorrow, for every purpose of the Lord shall be performed against Babylon. I will make the land of Babylon a desolate without inhabitant. The mighty men of Babylon have ceased fighting. They have remained in their strongholds. Their might has failed. They became like women. They have burned her dwelling places. The bars of her gate are broken. One runner will meet another runner. These runners would have been the runners that are taking messages that another city has fallen. And another place has been taken. And one messenger to meet another, to show the king of Babylon that that his city is taken on all sides. The passages are blocked, the reeds they have burned with fire, and the men of war are terrified. That's all historical references, by the way. Told ahead of time, but it happened just the way he said. They came in swiftly, they came in great numbers, and they took it very quickly. It fell very quickly. It's amazing how whenever God decrees something, God makes the strength of one increase while he makes the strength of another fail, and he just makes it happen. Yes? It was the Medes. It was the Medes. He had the Medes and the Persian Empire that came and gathered together their forces and took the Persians wound up becoming stronger, and they integrated among into the Mede, and it, so it became the Medo-Persian Empire. And it, the empire even became greater. So if you want to know like where Persia is, so Babylon was Iraq, okay? Persia is basically Iran. And so it just you know, the kingdom just continued to increase in size. It was incredible. And now, you know, later on, you got Greece that comes into the deal. Where are they from? They're all the way over there on the other side of the Mediterranean. So they took all this territory. The territory got bigger. All the way down into, you know, Egypt and everything, and took in all of that. And then after Greece, what happened? The Romans. And the Romans came and took everything Greece had plus some more. And so really, the heart of civilization, the known civilized world, really was taken in together, and it was all in preparation for the Christ. Because they all fell under basically one government then. They all fell under one language, because that was something Alexander the Great insisted on. Everything had to be one language. It was Greek. What's our New Testament written in originally? Greek. And Greek could be spoken in the entire area that what had been his kingdom. Wow! Isn't that awesome how God prepared the way? God knows what he's doing. He's incredible. He's got a purpose. And apparently in his purpose, he saved Kanye West. And so let's make sure we pray for him tonight. That is so incredible, because I don't know if you guys have ever read any of the press from before that, entertainment press. You know, I just get these little blips here and there, but he's married to Kim Kardashian, and the two are into all kinds of immorality, and it was like a new, you know, circus news story every day. And I always wondered, man, what's up with this guy? And then all of a sudden, he starts talking about Jesus and how abortion's wrong and how we really need to get things straightened out on marriage. And I'm like, whoa, where's this coming from? Something happened. But like you say, he's in a very precarious position right now. And so we do need to pray for him, that he'll be used for what is good. Keep the spotlight off of himself and get it on Jesus. If he can do that, God will lead him. Get some wise people around him that are really solid, rock solid. That's what we need to pray for him. Anything else we want to pray for? Yeah. Yeah, so that's the next stage. Tell his wife she shouldn't be dressing the way she does. That would be a good one. Did he tell her that? All right. Praise the Lord, Kanye. That's pretty awesome. Yeah, well said. All right. Well, let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Father, we do come to you tonight. We thank you that someday the entire system that's recognized as Babylon is going to be destroyed. We thank you that you've proven that you're going to do it by the way you destroyed the actual city of Babylon and all that surrounding area you gave into the hands of an entirely different rule. Lord, you're able to rise up a kingdom, and you're able to tear it down in a moment. And Lord, we see a lot of things that have risen up in our nation that are not of you. God, we know you can tear them down in a day. If we'll just depend on you, we'll get right with you, and we will not fear the enemy, but fear only you. Lord, I pray for Kanye West, and I don't know exactly what happened to him, but I believe something happened to him, and I believe it seems as though he gave his heart to you. And so, Lord, we want to praise you for that. I'm reminded in seeing that that you can save anybody. Lord, so we pray for that man. He can be used for great good because of popularity that he has. I remember President Trump actually reached out to him, called him to the White House and said, how can we get together on this thing and help the black community? We could work together on this. I've often wondered if maybe he encountered somebody there that shared the gospel with him that day. I don't know. I don't know how it all went down, but I know you got a purpose in it, and I pray you'll protect Kanye and protect his witness and protect his growth as a Christian. Thank you that he's already got a passion to share this faith, but I pray that you'll keep him away from the likes of Joel Osteen and other false teachers, and that you'll put solid, true, godly teachers around him, give him the discernment to know the difference, and not to just look for big crowds, but to look for people that are really teaching your word and learn from them. And Father, I just pray that you will just begin to sweep across this nation with a fire of revival like we've never seen, Lord. I don't really claim to know the method that you would use for this to happen. Lord, and to be honest with you, I don't care what it takes. I just pray you'll do it. I just pray that you'll wake us up. You'll wake up the church. The church is asleep right now. You'll help us to be all about your kingdom, Lord, and that we will see a great revival. And Lord, I know that when some of these social things change, there's going to be some ruckus over it because Satan gets loud whenever he gets angry. But Lord, he's got no power over you. And so we find our shelter in you. Lord, even if I had to die to see abortion finally come to an end, I'd be willing to give my life for it. Lord, I just pray to you right now that you would end this atrocity in our nation. Help us, Lord, to be all about you. Help our nation to turn our eyes to you. And Lord, we just love you. Let it start right here in the church, right here in Cadet, Lord, if you want to. Lord, lift us up so that we can be a voice in this nation. And Lord, help us to stand for you in a really just steadfast way. Lord, give us strength in prayer. Give us strength in our speech. Help us to live lives, Lord, that can't be blaspheme against you, Lord. Can't be used in a way that would make you look bad. Lord, I pray that you would just bless this church. Bless these people that came out tonight. And I pray it all in Jesus' name and to your glory. Amen.